of the open meeting law?
Yes, it was on the website and sent to the radio and newspaper and the admin building.
Okay. And approval of the agenda. Has everybody had time to look at the agenda? Any changes or corrections?
I'll approve as written.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Carol seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? approval of the minutes. Everybody had a chance to review those. Corrections or additions or anything to it? If not, have a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll so move.
Jan does second.
I'll second.
Anna does. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Public comments and communication?
I have a couple things. Just, I know some of you already know, but Gail Mason, who was the former ADRC director here, passed away this past week. So, yeah. So her wake is actually Friday from 4 to 7 at Martin Schwartz, or 3 to 7 at Martin Schwartz. I think it's 3 to 7 at Martin Schwartz here in town. She fell off the rung of a ladder. I don't know that they're...
Supposedly the first rung.
Yeah, so really? I don't know if she had like a medical event that caused that or
that
what.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, but very unexpected. So I just wanted to pass that along. Okay. How long was she here? How long was she director?
Oh boy,
quite a while.
Quite
I think.
A while.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let people know that. And then the other thing is. The building. I'll have Bob give you maybe a little more of a building update.
It's not on the agenda.
If you would like to tour today, I did talk with Gary yesterday. So if we can get out of here early enough today, we can go over and go through it if anybody would like to see it. It is coming along quite well. So I just have to be. We have interviews at 12:20 today, so I need to get over there for those too. But if anybody would like a tour, I'd be happy to give you a quick one. As long as we don't get lost in the jail, because I still every time I get back in the jail part.
I can stick around.
Okay. Honestly, I know you do. I know. I was going to say you're my secretary at 12:20. I still get turned around in the jail part, which is a good reason why I don't ever want to go to jail, because you can't find your way out of there if you try to escape. So.
They escape out of the cell. They're going to have a hard time finding them which way to go.
But it is interesting. So if you would like to stick around and we can just meet over there, and we'll be happy to walk you through it.
According to Brad yesterday when I was talking with him, that's the reason for that madness is because they maybe get out of their cell, but they won't get out of the cell.
It's coming along very well, but yeah, it is. It's a big facility. It's long, so there's a lot to it. But yeah, so anyway, we'll be happy to show you around there. I think you'll be good pleased, and we're going to do an open house in the future once we get in there. But right now we're looking at probably, I don't know, a month or better or so. We've got a lot of IT stuff that has to be done yet. New phones that we have to learn, so it'll be interesting. So.
Is that why Shane isn't here today?
What's that?
Is that why Shane isn't here today?
Yeah, Shane's actually at an IT conference today.
Yeah,
so.
Shane's got other issues going on.
Yeah.
We've got some phones that are down in the county.
Oh, no.
Well, it's the federal system. Mm-hmm. Conservation Department's out of whack.
Oh, really?
It's not our deal.
Well, that's not good. Shane is doing an amazing job, though. I mean, you ask for an update on something, and he gives you an update. I don't even know what half of it means, but I mean, I have a lot of confidence in the fact that he's
coming real good. They were supposed to light up the phones today.
Yeah, he thought they were going to start some.
He started at 4 this morning. He was in my office before.
He was going to start some initial testing.
He started at 4 because they copied the phone system that's at the sheriff's department, because we're going to IP. Voice activated over IP. So they copy that, and then they'll build the other two departments on top of it and download it. So they're hoping by the middle of next week the phone system works and works correctly.
Yeah. He said once he gets the phones working, he'll be spending a lot of time with us because he wants to make sure that we're very comfortable with them before we, you know, have to start actually using them. So.
I'm glad he's doing it, not me.
I'd be real worried about the 911 center. I mean, ADRC, if the phones go down today, is probably not going to be a critical, you know, issue. But, you know, the 911 center is a little trickier. Yeah. I would not want to be responsible.
The whole building is so redundant. And so
yeah, he's really...
There's redundant power in most everything. And computers the same way. They're all backed up. And it switches back and forth, and people don't even know.
Yeah. And I mean, the Wi-Fi, and it's going to be crazy good. And I mean, just it's going to be such an upgrade to here that we won't even probably believe
it.
So, you know, a lot of times we think it's our computer that have issues when really it's just this old building and the network and things like that. So yeah, it's going to be great. It's just really nice looking. So I'm excited to show it to you. So I think you'll enjoy it. So.
Six, advocacy reports and activities, ADRC regional board meeting.
Oh, then I didn't grab those.
Does anybody want to share with that?
Well, we had a joint meeting in Dodgeville.
I'm going to run and grab my legislative things while Dale's saying that because I forgot them on the deck.
Janet Zander. She is one of the... What is her title? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember title, but she was very knowledgeable.
She had a lot of
information.
One of the head ones in the state. And we had picked three topics for discussion that day. Issues for older adults and people with disabilities and like that, and it was the four were family caregiver support, direct care workforce shortage, reliable, accessible, and affordable transportation, and social isolation and loneliness. And we had some very good discussions on that. And we had, two legislators and two aides?
Yeah, we had
aides.
Noack and
Mark Line.
Mark Line
there. And then
Noack's aide and then a person for John Urbanbach.
Yeah.
Okay, that's who the other one was.
Yeah.
I couldn't think who that was, yeah. And they, of course, they agreed with all of our wants and wishes, you know. That was...
They did listen intently to it.
Oh,
they took
a
lot of notes and stuff. So that's
And both of them, I will say, have been pretty supportive. They've been very supportive of ADRCs, and they've been supportive of a lot of that stuff. So, it seemed. I thought they listened quite well. And
Mary Mesra said she's got a direct ear to Novak. So.
Yeah, she does. Mary's actually becoming quite connected within the state. She was up with, I talked with her yesterday, and she'd been meeting with the Secretary of Department of Health and different things. So she's really quite well connected up there, which is good for us.
Well, I don't know. Did you have anything else, Steve?
No, that was pretty much it.
I think so.
All the discussion, that stuff, and then from 11 to 12 was the listening session with the legislative people, and we had a nice meal after that from Bob's Bits of Barbecue. And some people stayed around and talked and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a good meal, worthwhile.
I think it's always a good. You know, it's a good opportunity to make sure legislators see us and know that they can give us a call. So it never hurts to keep that connection going. And they'll be up
there
visiting today.
There were a few that were invited that didn't show up, and I'm not sure why they didn't give an explanation or reason about that.
I know they had been in touch with Travis Tranel, and I don't know if he had another commitment that day or what.
Yeah.
But again, I should point out, well, it's on this one, but Aging Advocacy Day will be coming up on May 16th, so we will have an opportunity to visit them in their offices again, so kind of drive that home again. So
I think it's advent advantageous and informative, but I think it's nice when the two different areas meet like that anyway, when we get together. I mean, I think we've always done that since we separated.
Yeah. Yeah, that I know we've been, yeah, well, since I've been here, they've met two or three times.
I know we've met in before we met in Richland Center.
For those of you that don't, when the ADRC Regional was first came around, it was actually 8 counties, and then they decided that was too big, and they split them apart to a north and south.
A lot of driving for some of them.
Yeah. So that's why they kind of continue to still meet with, so it's Richland, Juneau, Crawford.
Sauk.
So. All right.
Any other questions or anything on that? If not, the governor's budget?
So I do have a copy of just the budget summary if anybody wants to look at it. Got another one on what it kind of addresses as well for people with disabilities. Basically, some of them that I just kind of highlighted here were the county transportation. They are looking at increases in county general transportation aids. So that's always good. They are looking at some Medicaid expansion. One of the things that came up, interestingly enough, was as part of a statewide contract, the governor recommends providing for children's services navigators 5 and children's disability resource specialist 2 to help direct families towards available community resources, programs, and services. There was a proposal that came out of the Children's Long-Term Support Council that sort of indicated that ADRCs would be a good place, that they needed, that families and children needed a resource, disability resource center similar to what we are. And that it should be co-located with ADRCs. What they neglected to do was actually inform the ADRCs or people at the state that they had put that in a proposal and were sending that to legislators, which it always amazes me when that happens at a state level, that people don't see the need to maybe, you know, have your stakeholders have some buy-in before you put it out there. So actually Mary got her hands on it, Mary Mesra, and sent it to Ann Olson at the state, who didn't know anything about it. So then there was a very quick phone call with Deborah, I can't think of her last name, it starts with an R, Rather, from the Bureau of DHS, or no, I'm sorry, from the Division of Family and Children's Services. So we ended up having a kind of a statewide conference call on this. And Mary had gotten some phone calls. Why was there pushback from ADRCs on this? And she's like, because the ADRCs didn't know anything about it. I actually think it's long overdue. You come from Family and Children's at one point, so you know it's long overdue. It's they were talking about the fact that families who have a child with a disability often have to maneuver through 7 or 8 phone calls to find services. So, and that is very true. It's very disconnected. It's very hard to even know. Doctors don't know. You rely on your doctor to know who to go to if you've got a disability when you have a child, and they don't. They really don't. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's certainly something that could fall into our whole design, but at the same time, it was just not. They didn't bring anybody on board ahead of time. So I went to a meeting the other night in Fenimore, and Liz Heck was there. She was actually presenting, and she's like the president of the Long-Term Care Council. So she and I had an interesting conversation about that, and I said, you know, I don't think there was as much pushback. I said, what you heard was pushback because people are afraid of change, and they're like, you know, we don't have enough room. And I said, but in reality, I think there wouldn't be. It would just be something that would have to be worked into. In my mind, a disability and resource center should just literally be birth to death. I mean, it should just be, you only have to make one phone call. So that's interesting. So it's, I think that's starting, and we'll see where that ends up at. But I think it's an interesting area that needs to be explored.
So who initiated this whole thing?
The Long-Term Care Council did. Okay. They were the ones that sort of did it. And I'm not sure like Liz is the head of it. She's worked for the Wiseman Center for years. She's also part of Family Voices, which works with children with disabilities. I just don't know. I don't know. First of all, I don't know why the bureaus didn't talk and didn't seem to have any information that they didn't. But this happens. It happens more at the state than I'd like to think would be the case. But so yeah, it'll be interesting. But it did make the governor's budget in some respect. Not a great deal of money, but it is in the budget. So it's you know, I think it's something that we need to be aware of. And they pulled out some of the language that actually talked about co-locating with ADRCs and things like that, because that was a bit presumptuous, I think. So they did pull back on that a little bit. But it was just interesting that would be developed and nobody thought to maybe call the people you were saying you should co-locate with and see if they thought that was a good idea. So I think it's a great idea. So, but, you know, in the whole realm of things, people have had a tough time with ADRCs even coming in. There are still counties where the aging unit and the ADRC don't really even play very nice together yet. There's still a little bit of that going on. So now you throw in children and families and people get really, really nervous. So to me, it just makes sense that if you're disabled, you should only have to call one number, whether you got a 4-year-old or whether you got a 84-year-old, you should only have to call one number to get services, or at least get routed to, you know, where the help should be. So I just think that's a no-brainer. But so we'll see how that goes. But I think it's long overdue. So healthy aging programs are still in the budget. They allotted $250,000 to provide some of those healthy aging programs. That's our Stepping On program. Chronic disease management, things like that. They also put in their dementia care specialists to expand those positions within the state. It equates to about 27 positions for dementia care, and then another 3 tribal positions. So some nursing home rate increases were in there, trying to address the workforce shortages, which is something that's really becoming a huge issue. We just got a survey right now because there's been so many nursing home closures within the state that the DHS is now surveying ADRCs just to find out what's happening in the different counties regarding nursing home beds and things like that, because there's such a shortage. So now we have a lot of nursing homes here in Grant County. We're probably one of the counties in the state that have, you know, some of the most beds. But again, with all these direct care shortages, not just because they have beds doesn't mean they have the ability to fill those beds if they don't have staff. So transportation again was listed a second time. So those were the main things. A lot of some attention to caregiver too, coming out at a federal and state level on the recognition of caregivers being, you know, huge in the workforce. And that was part of the Wisconsin Aging Network, too. Their position was to support and recognize people caring for friends or family members, supporting that tax credit, expanding the dementia care services, and providing working caregivers access to family and medical leave. That is, you know, again, the direct care work shortage, while being bad as it is, I don't think people would even know what to do if half of these people weren't being cared for by family members. If those family members were taken away, there'd really be a critical crisis, you know, because most of that is being taken up by people who are, you know, they're working full-time taking care of mom and dad or, you know, various things. So anyway, that's it. I think we fared pretty well. And if you want a copy or more information, I'll just leave it here and we can get you some afterwards. So, any questions on any of that? Okay.
And then do we contact you about the agency?
Yes, if you're interested in going, I need to get us signed up for that, and we will. They do a little bit of training ahead of that, and then they go over to the Capitol. So, okay. And we'll get something set up for that if you're interested in going.
Okay.
kick it back up to the budget. WCA's Human Services Day is April 2nd, so if anyone's interested. Carol and I are going from the county board, Fred's going, so anyone else is really, they won't tell me what subjects we're talking about, but it's based on budget, so it could be anything like
could be
some
number
of the subjects
of
you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So
what day again is that?
It's April 2nd. It's election day.
Oh.
It's not a good day. It's not
no.
a good day for me when I'm a village clerk and everything else.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best, but oh well. Great.
7, aging plan assessment.
Yes, so this is the last of that 3-year plan. And I got to tell you, every time I, you know, what sounds good 3 years ago doesn't always translate by the third year. Because things always change, and I don't know. I find these aging plans a little frustrating sometimes because, first of all, we have to deal with real problems all the time, and they make these goals, and they're just, I don't know. That's my feeling on it. So that being said, you know, I think you guys all had a chance. You got this ahead of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the strategic plan, when we looked at, we were kind of focused on, you know, the congregate site revitalization way back in 3 years ago, but that sort of turned around and became centered more on these frozen meals because we're getting more and more issues with frozen meals. And I just have a concern with the quality of our frozen meals, food safety with our frozen meals, because our sites are accessible to a lot of people and we don't always have that quality control. So we had thought the mail order thing was going to be the thing for us. And then in talking more with the state, they're not real supportive of that. They don't like it, basically, is what they told us on the assessment. I didn't love it, but I thought it might be an appropriate avenue for people that we just couldn't get meals out to, but the state's just really not loving it. So we are looking at some other avenues. So we actually have something set up. We'd hoped it would be a little sooner, but with the building being a little longer out, we haven't had the opportunity. But I talked with Sheriff Dreckman, and he has set up a meeting with their nutrition services. So we're going to meet, I think it's next week, the 27th. Is that next week? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to meet on the 27th to talk with their nutrition services to see what they maybe can do for us. My hope would be that we can maybe provide a very limited menu of frozen meals that we can just order and kind of keep in-house and get out to people as they need it versus trying to. What happens now is meal sites, if they have meals that are not, like somebody doesn't show up, if some of that's freezable, they'll try to freeze it. Well, first of all, that's only good for a couple of weeks. It's just not a good plan. Or they order meals that are freezable, but then they're in a freezer that I don't know who has access to that freezer. It just bothers me. I just think there's some safety quality issues there. So we're just going to talk about the possibility. My thinking is we'd have much more control over it if it's in our building. The nutrition services is interested in seeing what we do. I think the group that I looked at, primarily they do jails food. That's what they do. However, they've got their own on-site kitchen, so maybe they can provide some other things. We're catering out food to a lot of places, so we're just going to talk to them about it. More so about the frozen is what I'm most, you know, worried about. So Ruth has done a sample menu for them that would be like just 10 meals that are good freezable meals, and we're just going to see what their thoughts are in that, whether they might be able to do that. Because if we could keep a freezer right in this building, and then if we've got people that need those frozen meals, again, we'd still have to work out some transportation, but we would have much better quality control over those meals. So we're still kind of working on that. I was hoping we'd be a little further ahead. But it's just really difficult. And right now, we're still getting people. Ruth really works with people to find their family support, so somebody might come in and get, you know, meals for a few days. They order extra ones, and we're working that out. But my concern is what happens when we get somebody who doesn't have that family support and they live out in the middle of nowhere, and and don't have anybody to get those, because we're going to have a lot more of those, you know. So, anyway.
Can I ask just a question, like, with the weather issues we mm-hmm. had the last 2 months, how are the meal sites impacted and Meals on Wheels yeah. and all the
They've end. Been more impacted this winter than since I've ever been here. Yeah. We have had, I think we had eight closure days this
yeah.
year. It was terrible. Yeah, it's been bad. And we provide a package of shelf stable foods. So,
okay.
So those people that really are in need that don't have that backup at home do have some, you know, just some fruit
right.
cups and things in there that,
okay.
that they can access. And we did talk after probably about the sixth one, had meal site managers touch base with people to see if, you know, if we had anybody really in need. Yeah, it's a problem. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a problem because a lot of our home delivered deliverers are older people. So
right.
in this year we had so much ice. So
yeah.
it was just...
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I know I didn't go out for
well,
know, that day's
who wanted to,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
was like, oh my gosh, these poor people who don't,
it
who
is,
are relying on the food. Yeah,
it is. And if you look, I don't have it today, but if you look, our numbers for our nutrition survey, again, are 1 in 5 would not get a hot meal that day if we don't deliver. So you know they didn't. And some, that's really a meal that they rely on.
Yeah.
And so that's scary. Yeah. I don't know that we've ever had... I don't. Not since I've been here have we had that many closures. I mean, we really don't want to close, but.
Well, and a couple, you know, it wasn't like one day. It was sometimes it was 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
mm-hmm.
was.
Yeah, it's. Yes, we had some big concerns about that, and Bob can attest to the fact that I was actually on vacation at one point and emailing him because I was I was concerned about staff. I was concerned about participants. And granted, I was sitting in 74 degrees and worried about the 56 below wind chill. But I was worried. No, it was. It definitely impacted
okay.
us this year. And we are looking at, you know, again, we did, you know, make some contacts with people. We want people to know if there's some real concerns that they can give us a call and we'll try to get, you know, if there was a real concern where somebody wasn't going to have food, you know, we can always have volunteers do that. Several of the places and towns, there were different towns that did kind of step up with that. I know Jerry Day in Fenimore offered to deliver some meals to people when he knew we weren't. And I think there was a couple other, I want to say, there was another one too. And then there was actually, I think, a private person that offered to get meals to somebody if
yeah,
they
deliver.
Needed to. So we did have a few places that were willing to do that. So yeah, it was a bad, bad winter for that. So yeah, we'll again, that is something we want to look at. We typically, if the schools close, we close. But it was just, I mean, we just had everything. We had snow, we had cold, we had ice, it was just one thing after another. So, yeah, there's not much you can do about that. But, all right, anything else? So basically, that's what we're looking at as far as the frozen meals. So we'll look at that. I mean, I really think if we could have a freezer there and have people order ahead of time, and then we would just kind of make them to order, is my feeling, they would be much better quality. It's not like you're just trying to, okay, well, this is kind of a good frozen meal over here. Because you all know, if you've ever frozen anything, there's just issues there, you know. So we're hoping that maybe we can come up with something. And I'll let you know a little more after we meet. Caregivers, again, we always provide that caregiver renewal day. We had a great one again this year. It's something our caregivers really enjoy. We have a lot of caregivers with a lot of really trying days, I would say. So we had a breakfast buffet. We did this art activity that's aimed at stress release. We had a musician storyteller come in from Mineral Point. I've lost his name now. He ran the hardware store. His family ran the hardware store. But he was very good. They really enjoyed him. So one of the things that we really tried to do in the last 3 years was reach out to some employers on talking about caregivers. We did not get a good response. We targeted the major employers in Grant County. We got about four that we followed up with and thought we were going to get in with. We only had one from there that really contacted us back, and eventually they didn't follow through either nor want us. So we're kind of hoping we're going to circle back on this because with the new task force for caregivers and some of the stuff in the governor's budget, we think maybe there might be a little more renewed interest with caregivers and, you know, the possibility of family and medical leave, that maybe they might be more interested in this. So our hope is to provide some employer information, like at some of the chamber lunch and learns, things like that. So we didn't, that didn't go as well as we would have liked, but that's just how it goes sometimes. We did provide a powerful tools class. We did that in collaboration with Crawford County because they were short a leader. So actually that worked out well because we got some people from the northern part of our county that normally probably wouldn't have gotten services because they don't come this far. So let's see. The dementia, when, okay, again, here's another example. Back when we do this as a region, we thought we were going to do this little film festival on a thing, and then found out that really wasn't going to work because we couldn't get the movie rights and the we couldn't make that work. So that's when we decided to go with Martin Schreiber. So we did that in the Two Elaine's book, and so we switched that up. I don't think the aging, I don't think WAR will have a problem with that, but I mean, we simply just couldn't get what sounds good, you know, 3 years ago is doesn't always work out. So. But I thought Governor Schreiber did a great job. You were there, so yeah, I thought he did an excellent job. So, and for those of you, I think he is coming to Prairie. I think Prairie to Sheen. So if you haven't seen him, I can look for that because he really did a nice job. Living Well, the Grant Regional did offer a Living Well workshop. We always partner with them, but they didn't get enough participants for that one. We have the WEHA, which is the Wisconsin Institute of Healthy Aging, actually requires so many participants in order for them to hold a class, and they didn't have enough. So they were able to provide two stepping on classes. They actually had much more interest in that for 28 participants, so we did meet that goal. And then here was another one, determine the wants and needs of adults around transportation. We were going to do listening sessions. Well, again, this was part of my not understanding this, was with the regional coordination transportation plan, we were already collecting information through surveys, and we did the one listening session here in town. So I did not go out and do additional ones because we collected quite a bit of information through the surveys. So I did not feel that we needed to actually do any more than that. It just seemed a little redundant, so we did not do that. And I apologize, when I sent this out, I think I left one off. One of the things that we had talked about, too, was inviting legislators to meetings. Well, again, that was this year, and then we kind of switched up and just started going to every other month. So I did not connect with legislators. I knew we always have the year one. So that is something that we will try to do in the future, is to maybe invite them to one of our meetings. I was not able to work that out with them this year, so, or this past year, so, and I did leave that off. However, we did touch, that being said, I always touch base with them every year. We send them annual reports, we send them our nutrition survey reports, our transportation survey reports, so we're always in constant contact with them. Howard in particular usually likes numbers and where you're saving money. So, and he usually will respond to that sort of thing anyway, more so than he will if you want to sit and chat with him. Right. He's much more, give me what I need to look at. So he usually responds better that way. So anyway, we did do that, and I apologize. I did leave that off of there. So that's what it is. I don't think WAR will have any issues with it. Like I said, we've already got another three-year plan. It's just, you just don't know where things are going to kind of wind up. But if they would just look at all of the goals and standards that we have to enforce on a daily basis and do, this is just like, you know, silly fluff, I think, sometimes that the feds require. But I'm kind of used to that. We been doing that for a long time. Kind of, we have like real work to do sometimes. I think they don't realize how much it is, just like, you know, when you have 8 closures and you have to make sure that that's taking, you know, that people are getting meals. So we do need approval on that.
Oh, okay.
Or not approval, I guess. Whichever you so choose.
Could we have a motion to approve the aging plan assessment for 2018?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Earl makes motion. Second. Dale seconds. All in agreement? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next is the 2018 annual report.
I don't think, does the annual report require an approval? Do you know? I don't
really
do other ones. I didn't think it did, so. But we did include it. You got a copy of it, correct? Everybody got
yes,
a copy of it?
Yes.
Any questions on it? Any concerns? You know, probably our one thing is that, you know, our bus rides were obviously down because we didn't have, we did not have bus driver the whole time. But I think that's coming along. We've been doing 3 days a week. We've been getting, we've had a couple groups from Cassville that have been able to get enough people to get a bus trip over to Prairie and things like that. Kathy will be our bus driver because she drives for the school as well, but not during this summer. I think we're going to be able to provide a little bit more during this summer. We're also looking at some other potential drivers that we want to get to more community events. So concerts in the park or, you know, a play that might be in town. We're going to try to focus a little more on getting people connected to their community. So that's kind of the plan for the future. Our volunteer program is still off the charts. If you look, I mean, over 3,000 rides, mm-hmm. one-way rides. So that's, we are providing people all the time. As Courtney can attest to the fact, because she had to answer phones all day yesterday. Because Mariah wasn't here. So, so if you know of volunteer drivers that are out there, you know, that might be interested, please send them our way, because we can always use additional ones. One of the things that was in the governor's budget, which I hope, or in the governor's budget or in the legislative things, was to try to alleviate some of that insurance concern for volunteer drivers, I think, and trying to, I don't know if I've got it in this one, but one of the things that some insurance companies try to do is raise rates for volunteer drivers when they know, and part of that is because the Lyft and the Uber kind of came on board, and so they started looking at those drivers as being more of a business. And so we're hoping that, here it is, introducing legislation to clarify the insurance requirements of volunteer drivers and ensure protections under the Good Samaritan law. So not equating them with, you know, paid for service like an Uber driver. So
how does that work if, as a volunteer driver on the insurance part, you stand back of the liability, or do we have to take a separate policy out on our...
Some insurance companies want you to put like a rider on your insurance, because it does fall on the volunteer driver insurance first.
Okay.
The insurance, the county, obviously, when there's, you know, if God forbid there would be a bad accident, the county does have some umbrella policy over that, but you are the first person...
Okay.
That it does go through, and that's concerning to people, obviously. Some insurance companies have either balked or said you needed a rider on that, but there are other insurance companies that have not done that, and we've been able to kind of find that. However, we just tell people, we make, like, I put it in their volunteer handbook that, you know, they need to be talking with their insurance company before they do this. That's something that you need to, you know, make sure you're comfortable with before you do it. But the need is there so much that I'm hoping that they will recognize that more. A lot of our drivers are doing it. They drive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they really are, and they're paying taxes on that money because they, you know, they drive to the extent that that money gets taxable, because the IRS only recognizes, what, 14 cents a mile for volunteers, I think. So we pay them the IRS mileage rate. And we had a little discussion about that a few years ago with ARP, because ARP said, no, you know, we shouldn't be sending them the 1099. I'm not perfect. And anyway, I talked with Nancy at the finance department. She's like, no. She said, you give them this information. This is, you know, we have to do this. And, so it impacted some drivers, but most of our drivers are very aware of that. So they do get taxed on it sometimes if they drive a lot for us. Some people will only drive so much. So I think if it's under 600, they will drive up to that point and then say, okay, I'm done. I'm not gonna drive anymore. But I would say the majority of our drivers drive well over that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're constantly driving.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for them. So, you know, it's extra income for them, and they understand the liabilities. So they're very good, and I don't know what we'd do without them, because, honestly, we have more and more people that are living so long, and the average time without a driver's license, when you get older now, is about 8 to 10 years, where you're still living and you don't have the capability to drive. You know, to drive.
Yeah.
And some of our people still have the capability of driving; they just don't have it driving to Madison or,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Got all those roundabouts. I'm gonna be in trouble. I can't. I won't even be able to go to Prairie anymore. Cause, no, I can't do the roundabouts. Honestly, I had to go to the east side of Madison for Kirk's surgery, and there was two roundabouts, and I was more stressed about any. I could have driven anywhere, but I was like, how am I going to get through those roundabouts? So, yeah. I'm just panicking about those. So, but that is really the reality of it, and it's very scary to think, again, we're very rural out here, so how are people going to get around? So if we don't have those volunteer drivers, so I'm hoping that they'll continue to make those concessions so that, you know, we have those. So,
that said, we don't need to approve this.
No. So, if you have any questions on any of it, I mean, overall, I think we're doing a lot of contacts. We're doing a lot of our home delivered contributions look great. Our congregate are, of course, down a little bit, but that's, you know, we're seeing a decrease in congregate for a number of reasons. We just don't have as many people interested in eating.
Number 9, ADRC survey.
And
We got that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that.
And that doesn't require any action either, but were there questions on that? I had some concerns when I looked at it, just because we were down in terms of the region. I mean, we were still good in terms of how we fell within the state. But I did go back and look. Because I just kind of wondered. Now, the difference in this survey from past years is they just did a mail survey. In the past, they've done phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the past, we always kind of worried about those phone calls, because we tell people all the time not to talk to people on the phone.
Right.
And then the state does.
Yeah.
Then the state does a survey by phone. The only difference is on the phone, they could ask, they could flesh out a little more and kind of figure out if somebody had really an issue with us or an issue with family care. With this, they don't.
Right.
So they did the mail survey. And one of the things that we got dinged on with us was the fact, got a good understanding of your physical abilities and limitations. And that was for enrollment counseling only. Well, we do the enrollment counseling into long-term care. So our information and assistance specialist will help somebody. They decide they want to go into long-term care. We provide that enrollment. However, they don't know when we enroll them into INCLUSA or Care Wisconsin or whoever it would be, we don't know what services INCLUSA or Care Wisconsin are going
to provide.
That's up to the family care agency. But people don't always understand that. So they might not be happy when they've got into INCLUSA, because now INCLUSA is not providing them the services that they think they need.
Right, yeah.
And oftentimes that kind of comes back on us. So
yeah.
I kind of think, and we did have a couple of those cases where we did actually had somebody call and complain. It really isn't us, but
right, yeah.
but we can't. They don't know. They know we enrolled them, so they assume it's us. So the other issue we did have when I went back and looked was we did have a couple consumers that were upset. And again, it's more of probably a misunderstanding of the system. In the one case, we had where family members felt a family member needed more services than the family member felt. And while she agreed to the long-term functional screen, she was really unhappy with it and made that very clear to me. And I kind of forgot about that, but I went back and looked in my notes. And so it's possible if some of those, that would be why we got that.
They don't make that connection between the difference.
No. So, you know, the other issue we had was a customer who had sort of run afoul of the law and now was losing some benefits and didn't like the fact that we couldn't make that happen, you know, go away. Well, again,
right.
I can't make that change. You have to.
You don't have that magic wand.
I don't. So we did have a couple issues that I think that if you know, it only takes like one survey to bring us down in that. So we're going to have some conversations about that. But it's really difficult with long-term care. We just had Iris. Which is another kind of long-term care agency that's more, participants get a budget that's more self-directed. Right. And they were like, well, the participants, you know, they know their consultants. And it's like, no, they don't. No, we have them call all the time here. Courtney can attest, you know, it's like, well, you know, you didn't schedule my ride. You didn't schedule, I have a medical appointment and you didn't schedule it. It's like, no, that's not us.
Right.
That's
yeah.
We don't do that. So, again, they just don't know who's supposed to do what, and so sometimes we get, I think, dinged on that because of that. So, but we're gonna take this to heart and make sure that we're at least try to be clear with people about that.
And sometimes you can explain it to them in the face, and they still don't get it.
You know, again, one of the things that really concerned us this past year is we probably had 4 or 5 customers that got on family care, and then who were receiving meals for a while, and then their meals were taken out of their care plan, and they would call us back, and we will talk to them about the appeal procedure that they can do through family care, but we don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
But again, then it's looked at like, well, you stopped delivering meals. Well, no, we didn't. We're still trying. So
yeah.
I don't, you know, it's just one of those bad situations. So, and I think it just didn't flesh well for us this year. We're still good. I wasn't as happy to see it. We did much better on the last one. But again, I think with the phone ones, they can get a little bit more information because
more
they ask a little more. They ask it in a different way. But, you know, it is what it is. So.
I said flesh it out more.
Yeah. So we'll work on that with our INAs and try to, again, I don't know that with some people it would really make that difference. And the one that went afoul of the law, I still have him on voicemail because I really thought I thought we might have issues with him. And yeah, that was just, I'm sorry. You have to comply with laws. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
I can't make that go away for people. We do a lot of good work, but we can't, you know, we can't keep you from.
You can't pardon him.
No. Oh, gosh. So any questions on that? One of the things we were looking at doing again is giving people the opportunity to make some customer comments if they come in, because we feel that sometimes captures better some of our, you know, lots of times when people are walking out, they will actually stop at my door and say, you know, thank you. I really got a lot of help from them. And those don't always get captured.
Right, yeah.
So surveys, everybody's just, I mean, my God, you can't go anywhere. You get a receipt, they want you to fill out a survey.
Right, yeah.
So people just get tired of them. But we did think maybe, we tried it probably about 5 years ago. We just had some customer comment cards that it was totally up to the customer if they wanted to fill out. But a lot of them did. And, you know, good or bad, it would be kind of a nice thing to do.
Right.
So So we may look at that for the future too. Any questions on that? Do you spend any more time on it or no?
And again, okay. We don't need to approve that.
Nope.
The vouchers, number 10, everybody had an opportunity to look at those. Have any questions? Clarifications?
I don't think we had anything too unusual, did we?
Nothing outstanding on. If not, could I have a motion to approve the vouchers? And a second? Lester, second it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any one that disapproves of them? Nothing. Financial reports?
Again, I don't think we have anything. I didn't see anything really out of the ordinary on this, did you?
Mm-hmm. Everybody else had an opportunity to review them. No questions or concerns. Have a motion to approve financial report. Joanne does. Second?
I'll second.
9 seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's it. The report.
My report. Is that program reports, nutrition reports. We are having an issue, I will point out, on the nutrition reports with some extra meals being ordered. For various reasons, part of it obviously is with all the bad weather, we did have people that were canceling, you know, and I can't blame them for that, obviously, if they're not wanting to come out on a bad day. But we've also had a couple issues where we just have some meal site managers that kind of cave to people, then they order a meal and then they don't come. So we have, Ruth has been out addressing that, the fact that those meals cost, you know, $10.75 a meal or $10.86, depending on which, and we can't just be ordering one because somebody might show up. So they actually have to call and reserve. So we are back to enforcing that because we've had quite an issue with it. And so, yeah, it's just we've had to get a little bit stricter with it because it's too much. And it costs too much. So that would be my only thing on there that we are addressing. Other than that, I think I apologize on the information and assistance report. I don't have February's contacts on there because Danica was on maternity leave and she's the one who provides me with that report. So we should have an up-to-date report on that at the next one because she's back part-time. So
back to those that order meals and then cancel, don't show up. Are those the same people usually, or different ones? Or
it depends. I think we had more this winter just because we had people that thought they were going to come and then it was too cold. And those I get.
Okay.
Yes, but we also have. We've just had a couple issues where people are just ordering an extra meal because they think somebody might come, or people have gotten to the habit of. Just, yeah, I'm going to take 5 meals, you know, and then they just decide not to come. So
then Ruth talks to the meal site managers, and they'll address it with those.
Yeah, we've really only had it be a real issue with a couple of them,
okay.
And it's gotten to the point where we've had to kind of, you know, say, this really has to stop now.
Right.
We really can't continue to do this. So because it is, it's. What people don't understand is that those meals cost a lot more than, you know, and we constantly, you know, try to drive that point home, but it just doesn't always work. And typically if you've got an extra meal, you should be offering that then to, you know, say to somebody else, want to buy a meal and take, we can't say buy, but, you know,
right.
Does somebody want to take a meal home and they have the opportunity to donate that? And that does, so that does happen. So then, you know, we do recoup some of that, but it just shouldn't be happening, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine when it's a bad weather day, but if you've just gotten somebody in the habit of not having to make a reservation and make it convenient because they know it's really not going to matter if they show up or not.
Yeah.
They'll have a meal there if they do, and if they don't, what do they care? That's not a pro. That's not okay. So we just have to kind of reinforce that. Again, starting with the meal site manager, who has to reinforce
right.
that with the consumers that are attending. So, and
maybe you could raffle it off and make more money.
Well, you know, we can't ask for money. That's the problem in those places. That's the, you know, we have to be real careful on that too. We can't say somebody want to purchase this because it's not for purchase. But yeah, it's just, we've just noticed it as an ongoing problem. So we start out addressing it, and then we start out addressing it a little stronger. So it just needs to be. It's just one of those areas that it can get really expensive really fast if we're allowing people to do that. We just can't afford to do that. So it's just one of those things. And we just need to let people know that. People don't realize that those meals cost that amount of money. They just think it's like $3.50 and it's not that big
right.
of a deal. And what in, you know, what's the big deal? So we are interviewing today for office assistant, so we're still looking for somebody. We did interview what a while back. Yeah. And we had two people drop out of the interviews, and we had like three, and we really didn't feel comfortable hiring at that point. So we do have six. So we are interviewing today and Friday, so we're hoping to get somebody in place. For that, aging plan assessment was completed. Annual report, obviously, we are trying just to give you a save the date if you're interested. We are planning a volunteer banquet for April 29th at Southwest Tech. It will be in the evening. I think we do it about 5 o'clock is what we have down. If any of the board members are interested in attending that, we would love to have you. They did a great job for us last year. Southwest Tech did. It was a really nice meal. So we would love to have you attend if you can. I'll send something out a little more formal once we've got an invitation. We are looking at contract information for the nutrition program. We do have to bid that out again. Given the timing of this building, which I was hoping would be a little sooner, and talking with nutrition services, everything's kind of been moved back. Ruth and I are discussing the possibility of offering just a one-year extension on that contract to our caterers and vendors if they're interested, and then looking at bidding it out more in full next year. That would just buy us some time to kind of know what our setup is going to be here, what we would have. So we're kind of mulling that over. To see what we want to do there, because that it's a huge, you know, obviously we've got several vendors, we've got Cassville, we've got Grant Regional, we've got UW-Platteville, and then we've got our own on-site kitchen, so we are looking at that. I have been in discussion with the Simons, I hope I spelled that right, I don't know if I did, Simons Complex in Richland Center. One of the problems that we're having with prevention programming for us is I don't want to pull our INA, our information assistance staff, out to do prevention programming. Like, we used to do that, but they do so many contacts. They are so busy, and that is how we get money. We get Medicaid reimbursement for our contract on that, so it doesn't make sense for us to pull them out and do prevention programming because then we cannot get the Medicaid reimbursement. So we are looking at trying to develop different ways of providing some of that prevention program because we use that to market, but we just need to do it, you know, in a way that makes sense. So Simons Complex in Richland Center actually has quite a few people interested in being some prevention leaders, but they don't have any money to get them training. So I had a nice conversation with her because I've got about $4,000 in prevention money that I can't often spend because I don't have people to do it. So I said, well, this might be a win-win, and it would get to that northern part of the county that we often can't get services to. So so we're talking about that. Senior Expo will be at, if you're interested in going to the Senior Expo, it's over in Belmont on April 10th. We will be providing some transportation to that, and we will have a table there. And then the new building's coming along, and you'll get to see that in a little bit if you want to come over. Again, working on that alternate frozen meal procedure. We just got a lot of stuff going on. We are very, very busy. Nicole will be going on maternity leave before too long, so we'll be down to two information assistance specialists. So that will make for a very busy summer for the other two. So, because their contacts, if you look on here, you know, they're doing a lot. They did 460 encounter contacts last month. That's a lot. If you look at that in terms of the region, we do a lot. So they're very, very busy. Transportation is very busy, right?
Yes. Especially with the weather too. They had to cancel appointments, reschedule appointments, and everything too.
Yes, yes. We literally had it felt like some of those bad weather days kept occurring on the same days, and so people kept rescheduling their medical appointments,
right,
and literally got behind. So and then they started getting nervous, and when they get nervous, they call. So, yeah. And I tell you, we've got volunteer drivers that will drive in a lot of weather, but, you know, but participants don't even want to go out in it, nor should they. So, any questions on any of those? Any concerns? Okay.
Talking about volunteer drivers, we lost one a week ago. I don't think he drove for a while, but when he did drive, he drove putting there 24/7.
Yeah.
Sheldon Scott from Platteville.
Okay.
He drove after you started.
He did not. I don't remember anyway.
He hasn't drove for quite a while, but he drove for a long time.
Yeah, we have some really, we have some really dedicated people that, and they just really enjoy it. It's definitely a niche for some people that they just really find.
And I've seen him out on the road all over.
Well, in like when we did more dialysis, those people have to go.
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah,
and I tell you what, our volunteer drivers drove in some weather that I would have been very, very nervous and. And I wouldn't have done it. I would have been very nervous to have to take. But they knew the seriousness of it, so they would go.
Well, I think it was like Sheldon. He didn't have to drive. He just pointed the car and said, go get him. About right, I think.
Yeah. And so many of our volunteer drivers have such a connection to the people that, you know, they've been driving some of the same people for so many years that they probably know more about them than their family members do, you know. So, yeah, no, it's a great, I should say we just had I had a comment from John Meidinger at the Senior Center. They commissioned the aging, was wondering what we were doing with our 8521 money, we've had to put more money into our volunteer driver escort program because that's where the concern is. That's where the need is. That medical need is very, that's the priority, and it should be for us, I think. So, the bus is what gets attention for us over there, but really that's not the big picture. The bus does provide people with, not being isolated and getting groceries and things like that and a little social outing, but that medical priority, getting people to where they need to be, especially out here when you've got Dubuque, La Crosse, and Madison to get to. Is really, it's a much bigger need, and people don't see that because that's not visible. They don't know all these volunteer drivers don't have ADRC on their cars, so the other concern that I can think of that we might have going forward in the next month or two is the road construction here in Lancaster for the square with our taxi. I'm a little concerned about how we're going to get people around there, but we'll just make do. I talked to the project engineer a little bit yesterday on that, just because he said people are going to have to walk. And I'm like, I don't know how we're going to get, I don't know how John's going to get, you know, people in a wheelchair. He's going to have to assist them, and I just don't know how that's going to work. So that should be interesting.
Into businesses.
Well, he, according to the project engineer, while they said things would be handicap accessible, he also said there could be, they'd have to walk a block. Well, you know.
I have a walk block, but how do you get across that door up street?
Well, my concern is where can we park our vehicle and he can get them out too, and he's going to have to assist him and leave the vehicle
Some
parked.
Some of the pictures and things that I've seen are it's going to be plywood sidewalks and this and that, which meet the standard, but they're not very safe or stable or anything else.
They can talk all they want about doing this and doing that, but there's going to be, maybe not every day, maybe not all day, but there's going to be periods of time when it's going to be the next thing to inaccessible, not inaccessible.
Right.
Yeah. So.
They can't help it.
I mean, we'll make do, but.
Yeah.
I just wanted them to be aware that. And we don't have, we'll get signage on that vehicle. We haven't signed it yet.
Yeah.
Tear up the sidewalk.
I just hope that they're going to be a little more conscious of that vehicle if it's parked somewhere. You know, I mean, we just, it may have to be parked in a non-parking area in order for him to get out and get somebody to where they need to go. So I hopefully they're willing to work with that. Yeah, so. I mean, it's inconvenient. Obviously, it always is inconvenient, but I just thought when he said that there was going to be two-way driving on the square, God, I'm going to have to park five blocks away and just walk because I won't be able to go the wrong way in the square. That'll screw me up.
I'll buy me a pair of walking shoes for this one.
I showed Carol the map last night, and she looked at it and said, well, as long as I can get to Dick's parking lot, I can walk from there to the truck shop.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But see, Dick's parking lot's off limits.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
I don't understand that.
Hope you're not called for jury duty today.
That was our other issue this week. Our taxi driver was been on jury duty all month.
Special parking lot. Who's doing jury duty? He's got a special parking lot they can park in.
Not
I don't think we did
nothing
adjourn,
else
did
we? We have anything.
There's 30
motion to well, the next meeting's May 15th.
Right.
Have a motion to adjourn the meeting. Dale,
second.
Lester, all in favor, say aye.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for where that next meeting will be.